Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, September 14th, 2011. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, lead plaintiff in Idaho lawsuit against Corrections Corporation of America settles in Gladiator School case. WSU enrollment up. Haley students get plastic bag ban on the ballot. And Moscow Arts Director Burns gives Art Walk update. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The lead plaintiff in an Idaho prisoner abuse lawsuit against the largest private prison operator in the nation has settled with the company. Other prisoners suing Corrections Corporation of America are now in settlement talks with the Nashville-based company, which may prevent a class action lawsuit from moving forward. Former prisoner Marlon Riggs sued for $155 million in 2009, saying Corrections Corporation of America guards running the state-owned Idaho Correctional Center south of Boise failed to protect him from violence from other prisoners, and said the correctional center had become so violent it was called Gladiator School. When Riggs' case was split from the other inmate lawsuits, Riggs changed the amount of his lawsuit to $55 million in damages. The settlement was sealed in U.S. District Court in Boise Monday because the settlement included a confidentiality agreement. Riggs' attorney James Hughley and CCA spokesperson Steve Owens did not return Associated Press phone calls today. The 48-year-old Riggs said he was living in a general population unit when other prisoners demanded he pay what they called rent, or he would be beaten. The other prisoners stole his headphones, food, and personal belongings. Riggs said the next day at least four inmates came to his cell and said he must leave or fight them all. Riggs pressed the emergency button in the cell block and a guard let him leave and talk to another guard. The guard asked Riggs to name the inmates, and Riggs said he did not know their names, but he could identify them either through photographs or security videos. The guard refused to grant those options and ordered Riggs back to his cell. Riggs said he was attacked and beaten by another inmate shortly after he returned to his cell block. Riggs had also claimed the prison provided inadequate health care, but that part of the lawsuit was thrown out by U.S. District Judge Edward Lodge, who said Riggs did not follow all the steps in the prison formal complaint policy before going to court over the medical care issue. Washington State University set an enrollment record this fall with 27,008 students enrolled on the four campuses and a total of 21,016 students on the Pullman campus. The Pullman campus enrollment represents 1,000 more students, or a 4% jump over last fall's figures. There was a 40% increase in freshman enrollment with 4,174 first-year students on the Pullman campus. WSU President Elson Floyd said in a statement, "Early in this admissions process, we made the decision to provide access to as many qualified students as possible. Clearly, the size, quality, and diversity of this freshman class shows that even in difficult times, there is a great demand for a WSU education." Moscow Arts Commission Director Kathleen Burns gave the Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee a report on this year's Art Walk event, which has been held every June for the last 6 years. Centered in downtown Moscow, Burns said 63 businesses and 100 artists participated this year, and it included a number of demonstrations in Friendship Square, including wood turning, fly tying by the Clearwater Flycasters, glass blowing, and chalk art.
So Gritman was the farthest south. They had over 200 plus people. New St. Andrews were clicking 300 till they ran out of wine, but they know they had 300.
There were a lot of people.
I know. The Moscow Chamber of Commerce had 350-plus, and Tom gave me a quote of PCEI. People actually traveled out there for the chair exhibit, and they had 150-plus.
Way out there.
Way out there. Far out of town.
Burns spoke about promotional efforts, including postcards, newspaper inserts, and yard signs.
We just purchased Farmers Market Boulevard banners through our FMPP grant. Acronym. Farmers Market Promotion Program grant. And we purchased over 17 Boulevard banners. And then the large banner that goes in Friendship Square, the very large one, and that was $1,750.
I was just wondering if your Boulevard banners with Art Walk and the dates on it put up a month ahead of time might be.
That would be a good investment.
But if you didn't do the date, you could use them year after year.
That's right.
Or have changeable dates on them.
Yep. So let's get back to numbers. We had numerous treats that night. We were famous for our popcorn and our Coca-Cola. We had wine and cheese throughout town, hot dogs, popsicles. The brewery and Pullman donated
beer.
Yeah, so we had
Bishop on this side, this end.
Yep. Yep. So you missed it, Walter.
Yeah, I've got to plan my trips out of town better.
Yeah. So I'm going to close quick. So you guys like numbers. So the budget number, expenses were $5,258.97. The revenue was $5,070. Sponsorship dollars that have come in, I still have some dollars owed, was $1,350. So right now we're ahead of things.
Anticipating it to go a little more ahead of things.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say thanks to everyone. Nicole Baker in the Water Department. Tyler made sure our streets were clean. Tom Grunden worked with garbage and staff. The fire department was very supportive and on duty that night. The police department were right on task and helped us close Friendship Square. And the bicycle patrol people were out. And everybody pulled together and did a really good job. And Jen and Elisa and Mike Ray did a really good job with the 100-year exhibit.
That was Moscow Arts Director Kathleen Burns speaking to the Moscow City Council Administrative Committee on Monday afternoon. The Wood River High School Environmental Club has collected enough signatures from Haley residents to get a plastic bag ban on the city election ballot in November. If approved, local retailers could be fined $50 per day for distributing plastic bags to customers. Club members want to get people to carry their groceries and other purchases in reusable bags or recycled paper bags. Hilux Poly Company in nearby Jerome is opposed to the election measure, saying the bags they manufacture are made from 30% recycled material. The Idaho Mountain Express newspaper reports the Environmental Club's efforts are an offshoot of the local Just Bag It campaign program presented on Earth Day by volunteer Elizabeth Jeffrey. Jeffrey's program used part of an $8,900 Environmental Protection Agency materials management grant to the city of Haley in organizing her efforts. Environmental Club students Chase England, Lex Shapiro, and Maggie Williams presented the 157 signatures needed to get the ban on the ballot to the city clerk recently. The Mountain Express reports these students were mentored by club advisor and high school Spanish teacher Erica Greenberg. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP in Moscow. Montana State Veterinarian Marty Zalewski said a herd of cattle in Park County has been quarantined after six members of the herd tested positive for brucellosis, a contagious disease that causes female cattle to abort their young. Brucellosis was common among cattle in the 1800s, and it is still found in parts of Texas and the Yellowstone area. Thousands of Yellowstone bison who have wandered outside of the park have been slaughtered over the last 10 years because of fears the bison would transmit the disease to cattle herds. However, no case of bison transmitting the disease to cattle have been documented. However, the disease is also common among elk in the Yellowstone region. Wildlife scientists testing elk in the area have found a new area of brucellosis outbreak in a portion of National Forest west of Yellowstone National Park. If the brucellosis is confirmed among the Park County cattle herd, it will be the fourth case of the disease among domesticated animals during recent years in Montana. One of the outbreaks was among bison on a ranch owned by media mogul Ted Turner. Turner's bison have been quarantined since November, and there are ongoing tests that may result in the quarantine being lifted. Meanwhile, Park County and the Park County Stock Growers Association will get a hearing next month in Lewistown, Montana, in their lawsuit against the state of Montana and the federal government over their plans to let bison roam more freely north of park boundaries in Paradise Valley. Environmentalists and the Obama administration have responded to the proposed legislation from Republican Representative Denny Rehberg and others in the U.S. House that would prevent the president from designating national monuments in certain western states by saying the bills are all about resource extraction and not about conservation. Republican Representatives Raul Labrador of Idaho's 1st Congressional District and Rob Bishop of Utah have introduced similar bills, as have three other House members. The bills would change the 1906 Antiquities Act, which allows the president to designate the monuments, and would require an act of Congress for new national monuments in certain states. In written testimony submitted to a House Natural Resources Subcommittee, the Interior Department said that though some national monuments have been established amidst controversy, who among us today would dam the Grand Canyon or turn Muir Woods over to development? These sites are much cherished landscapes which help to define the American spirit. Natural Resources Defense Council land policy analyst Bobby McEnany said, "We're only talking about resource extraction. We're not talking about conservation. I think we can respect the idea that Westerners have a say in those lands, but that's not what these bills do. They favor one use of the land over other uses." Republican Representative Virginia Fox of North Carolina, who introduced a similar bill, said, "Considering the size of the federal government's existing real estate portfolio, there is no need to continue unilaterally acquiring new lands without any regard to states' rights or economies." The four voting members of the Washington State Redistricting Commission revealed their maps for congressional and legislative districts yesterday. Commissioners are carving out a 10th congressional district this year after the 2010 census found Washington is eligible for one more member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Three of the commissioners kept the 5th congressional district approximately the same on their proposed maps, just moving the district line further west to take into account population shifts. Currently, the sprawling 5th district goes from the Oregon state line to the Canadian border in eastern Washington. However, the 4th plan calls for putting Whitman County and other counties to the south in a district that would include the Tri-Cities and Yakima, while the 5th district would include parts of Grant and Douglas counties. For legislative districts, Democratic Commissioners Dean Foster and Tim Cease proposed putting Whitman, Garfield, and Assotin counties, which are currently in the 9th legislative district, into the 16th legislative district with Walla Walla and Columbia counties. The Lewiston Tribune reports that plan would put Republican Representatives Susan Fagan of Pullman and Joe Schmick of Colfax in the same district as Republican Representatives Terry Neely of Dayton and Maureen Walsh of Walla Walla. One of those plans by Commissioner Dean Foster would put most of Adams County in the 16th district, which would mean Republican Senator Mark Schossler of Ritzville would be in the same district with Senate Republican leader Mike Hewitt of Walla Walla. Schossler currently represents the 9th district, which includes Pullman and Clarkston. The Tribune reports the two Republican commissioners, former U.S. Senator Slade Gorton and Tom Huff, have drawn a legislative map with district lines closer to their current alignment in eastern Washington. The commission will study each other's plans and take public comments for a month and then start meeting again October 11th. Meanwhile, in Idaho, Secretary of State Ben Assersa decided yesterday to push back the first day of work for a new redistricting commission to Wednesday, September 28th, after Democratic and Republican Party members complained that next Monday was too soon to find new commission members. Assersa says a 2009 state law requires a completely new redistricting commission be appointed after the most recent commission, whose term expired September 4th, failed to agree on legislative and congressional maps. Three-quarters of the money budgeted for the redistricting commission has been spent. In Idaho, there are six redistricting commission members, three Democrats and three Republicans, and four must agree on a map in order for it to be approved. A man convicted of killing his wife in Moscow is appealing his conviction. 27-year-old Silas Parks was sentenced to 40 years in prison under a plea agreement reached last year for the 2009 murder. Parks was convicted of smothering his pregnant wife, Sarah Parks, and setting fire to his Vandal Drive duplex in June 2009 in an effort to cover up the evidence. He pled guilty to two counts of voluntary manslaughter, one count each for his wife and unborn fetus. He also pled guilty to first-degree arson. In his appeal, Parks said he had ineffective counsel because his attorneys Ray Barker and Charles Kovas caused him to believe he could not plead guilty to any charges lesser than manslaughter for the deaths. The petition also claims the death of his wife could have been accidental because since his sentencing, Parks has been found to suffer from a sleep disorder called rapid eye movement behavioral disorder, quote, or some similar disorder, unquote, which causes people to physically act out intense and often violent dreams while in the REM state of sleep. The petition also takes issue with the 40-year sentence, which makes Parks eligible for parole after 20 years. The petition points to cases where those convicted of manslaughter were given lesser sentences despite being involved in illegal activities that lead to the homicide. Parks says his sentence is cruel and unusual because he was not involved in illegal activities at the time of the homicide. The Latah County Prosecutor's Office has 30 days to respond to the petition. A 38-year-old man was electrocuted and killed at a gravel pit near Colfax yesterday. James Hussey of Peck died at the scene when he came in contact with a live line while transferring generator electrical lines at Doneen Gravel Pit. Hussey was employed by Diatley Crushing Service. A MedStar helicopter was sent, but Hussey was pronounced dead after it arrived. A 20-year-old inmate escaped from the Benoit County Jail for a second time this summer. Early yesterday morning, Jesse John Wilkin escaped just after midnight yesterday while awaiting sentencing for his previous escape. He is also serving a sentence for burglary, which normally is served at an Idaho Department of Correction facility. His earlier escape came on July 15th after a court appearance in St. Mary's where a judge sentenced him to a one-year prison substance abuse treatment program. He was captured in southern Kootenai County 5 days later. If Wilkin, who also uses the last name Brebner, is captured, he faces a five-year sentence for his second escape. The Spokesman Review Report, Spokane Assistant Police Chief Jim Nix announced his retirement yesterday. Nix's announcement comes at a time when his boss, Police Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, has also announced her retirement. Both plan to retire early next year. The department is under intense scrutiny for police brutality in general and the death in 2006 of disabled janitor Otto Zem in particular.
the Zem incident predates Chief Kirkpatrick's tenure at the department, but Nix was heavily involved in the issue because he was acting police chief in 2006. Nix is scheduled to testify for the prosecution at the federal trial of Officer Carl F. Thompson, Jr., who is accused of felony brutality and lying to investigators. Nix initially defended police actions in their confrontation with Zem, but court documents say Nix testified to a grand jury in 2008 saying, based on the video during Officer Thompson's initial engagement of Otto Zem, Mr. Zem appears to be active resistant and is not assaultive towards the officer. Therefore, Officer Thompson was not authorized to utilize an impact weapon and strike Zem. Zem died 2 days after being beaten with batons, repeatedly tasered, and hogtied by Spokane police, who held him down after encountering him in a Division Street Zip Trip convenience store aisle. Parents, educators, and community members interested in learning about how to establish a public charter school may register for the Idaho State Department of Education's upcoming Charter Start 101 workshop in Boise. The free workshop is a statutory requirement for all new charter school developers and will take place 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday and Friday, October 6th and 7th, and registration is due by Friday, September 30th. Space is limited. Information is available online at www.sde.idaho.gov/site/charter_schools. That's sde.idaho.gov/site/charter_schools, or by emailing lahoward@sde.idaho.gov. That's lahoward@sde.idaho.gov. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Increasing clouds, low 52 tonight. 20% chance of isolated showers tomorrow morning. Otherwise, partly sunny, high 74. West winds increasing to 15 miles an hour with gusts up to 25. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, low 49. West winds 15, gusts up to 25. Mostly sunny on Friday and Saturday, high near 70, mostly clear Friday night, low 43, and back to a chance of showers Saturday night and Sunday with a 20% chance of showers late Saturday night and 30% chance on Sunday, high 69. Currently, fair skies, 86 degrees in Moscow. Coming up next is Building Bridges, the weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. We'll have music at about 7:40, and World Waves with Catherine Bonzo will be on the air at 8:30. If you want to help KRFP keep news reports like this on the air, or the news reports you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $25 for students. You can join Radio Free Moscow, become a member by sending your annual membership dues to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or check us out on the Radio Free Moscow website for how to donate. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow.